The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Thursday, August 26th, and as Fantasy Week rolls on, check out our feed. We've got DFS Talk with Frank Stanfill and Best Ball Talk with Josh Norris. Our upcoming guest knows that I think best ball is the future of fantasy. Jamie Eisenberg, the one, the only. What's up, buddy?
Best ball is the future of fantasy. It would be nice. It would be nice. I don't know at what point we'll get there, but it's heading that way.
I like not worrying about my lineups is what I like.
You like not worrying about drafts. You not like worrying about your lineups, waiver moves. You know, we were actually having a good conversation, Heath, Dave, and I, Heath Cummings, Dave Rich, and I, about our Dynasty League. And I was saying, like, you know, you went from a team that had no chance at making the playoffs to trading your way into a potential playoffs. But I don't know if you're going to win a championship barring a lot of things going your way, but you definitely put yourself in position by ripping off our good buddy Nick Costas.
Well, that was a weird spot, though, because, and by the way, if you like Heath and Dave and Jamie, you can get more of them on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. And maybe more importantly right now, the Fantasy Football Today Draftathon. You can bid on Jamie. You can bid on me. You can bid on Heath. You can bid on Dave. You can bid on Chris Towers. You can get a private Zoom call with all the fantasy guys for your draft pre-draft prep. Go to cbssports.com/eBay. That's the link. Go donate. It helps. Every dollar goes to St. Jude's. So go donate. But yeah, Nick tried to back out of that trade. He tried to pull this very bizarre, like Yankee, New York type of move where he's like, no, I just don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I was like, you agreed to the trade. We have text thread. We're like,
you were legitimately angry.
I was legitimately angry. In my opinion, you can't, if you're like friends with somebody and you verbally agree to a trade, and that you can't get cold feet in the middle of it. Like, I understand that the formal thing is a acceptance on the CBSSports.com league page, but
any league page, yeah.
Yeah, but like if you know somebody, if it's a random league and a trade falls apart, I get it. Right. But like, you know, Nick and I are like texting back and forth, and I think he's the one who wanted to do a trade in the first place because he was trying to dump Dak. It ended up being
he had at the time three quarterbacks. Now, first off, you didn't rip him off. It was a very good trade for both of you guys.
That's fine.
But last year I actually offered him, you know, and this is just how sometimes trades work out for the ones that fail. I had offered him a second round pick in our rookie only draft for Jared Goff because my quarterback situation was not great. I ended up trading for your favorite quarterback of all time, Hall of Famer to be Matthew Stafford, for a better trade. But Nick wanted a first round pick for Goff, or maybe I was out for another. Maybe it was a third round pick. He wanted a second. I just wasn't going to overpay for Goff. But in any event, he was stuck with Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, and Jared Goff. And so it made sense for him to move on from a quarterback, which you needed one desperately. And you ended up trading away Saquon as well to get Dak Prescott and Alvin Kamara. Yeah. You know,
and I gave up Henry, Jerry Rice, Ruggs.
Right. Nick's team is really good. He's got a very strong team, but you put yourself back into contention. And if, you know, a player here, you know, if Kamara is Kamara, Dak is Dak, you know, I forget the rest of your team. We're going to have a blockbuster here for Jacoby Myers, I'm sure, at some point.
I took Trey Sermon over Devontae Smith, a very unconventional move
there. And Jalen Waddle and Michael Carter, which you know, now is looking like at least close to a wash. You know, a lot of people thought Michael Carter would be better, and he still might be, but Sermon seems to be a little bit better standing with his team.
I think I was ahead of the curve on Sermon. I mean, like, I'm all in on Sermon. I don't know.
From the get-go.
I don't know if it's going to work out well. I mean, we'll see. But that's the most any, and we talked about this yesterday with Josh Norris. I don't want to harp on the Sermon thing too long. I am curious. You mentioned, you know, Saquon and Kamara. When you look at the top of your board and how you want to plan out drafts, what are you,
for, and this is not the, you know, the best ball thing that we talked about with Josh Norris is different. You know, you can gamble on Travis Kelce at four in best ball and hope that something comes back to you. It's a little bit harder to do that in, you know, season long fantasy where you're, you know, you're trying to build out a roster. What is your general strategy, Jamie, for 2021? Is it like, cause I think that the, I feel like you maybe you're an anchor running back guy. That's like the trendy term now, right? Where you get the elite running back and then you build off of that. Is that sort of how you're approaching most of your drafts, or is it draft slot dependent?
It's draft slot dependent. You know, I don't really like to peg myself as a one strategy type of, you know, fantasy analyst or fantasy player. Because I think where you draft matters, and obviously how you like to build your team, especially like somebody like me who plays in a lot of different redraft leagues. I like to try different things, you know, so I'll try zero RB. I'll try modified RB. I'll try going, you know, RB heavy. And I think that's more fun. But when it comes to, you know, Barkley is a very good player to bring up how you approach your first round, because there are people who play to not lose their league with their first round pick because of the concerns over certain players. And then I tend to be a little bit more aggressive. I like to play to win my league with my first round pick because those players are difference makers for a reason. So Barkley has so many warts and red flags given his injury concerns and the team around him. But you also see what the upside could be. And I know everybody points to the 2018 season when he was this monster rookie. I look more at the final five games of the 2019 season when he was actually even better.
Sure.
But the reason I look at those games was because he was coming off of an injury and he was with Daniel Jones. And so we can say anything you want to about how bad Daniel Jones was last year and anything you want to about how bad the Giants could be this year, because they all could be correct. But they didn't have Barkley for the majority of the season. They didn't have whatever Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney are going to offer. This is a better team. And so Daniel Jones has to play better. Barkley has to stay healthy. Offensive line has to stay better, play better. But you got to compare Barkley to the guys going around him. And Jonathan Taylor's got red flags now. Joe Mixon, we know those red flags. All those guys, you know. So I think Barkley still has league-winning upside. So I'm probably a little higher on him than most.
No, I think that Barkley is a fun gamble on the back half of the first round, and certainly in the early part of the second round if he falls that far. I don't think he's fallen. He's going at 11th overall, according to – excuse me, 12.24, according to CBSSports.com ADP.
And rising. You know, he was around 15 when he's actually yo-yoed a little bit. You know, started high, injury concerns, and then bounced back up.
I mean, you're taking Barkley over Austin Eckler if they're both there. And I'm a big Austin Eckler fan, but I think Barkley offers way more upside.
Love Eckler. You know, Heath and I had this conversation on our live stream last night. And it's there's five that are locked in, you know, McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Henry, and Zeke. Then this is like, I have Barkley sixth, but you can make a strong case for Eckler in PPR. I'm fine with it. You make a strong case for Aaron Jones in both formats. I'm fine with it. Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb in non-PPR. Totally get it. But to me, Barkley, if he's right, he's better than all those guys.
So you're going Barkley sixth and then the wide receivers and Kelce, or like, how does that, how do you sort of slot that?
I have Barkley sixth. But again, this comes down to, you know, how you want to build your team. And I think more importantly, you know, we don't talk about this enough broadly. If you're in a league with people that you've played with year over year over year, you know their patterns, or at least you should. And if you haven't been paying attention, then that's on you. But, you know, like I know what Dave is going to do. I know what you're going to do. I know what, you know, Heath is going to do, you know, because I've played in enough fantasy leagues. I know what my friends are going to do from college, you know, because they do it all the time. So if you know that one of them is going to take a quarterback early, you can plan for that, you know, whether it's the first or second round. Travis Kelce is going to go at the 5, 6, 7 spot, you know, so you just kind of have to plan for that. And I think that matters in how you build your team. But yeah, I think Barkley is a top five player. And so I will take him sixth overall.
All right. I bet I like it. And if you're drafting sixth overall, if you're drafting seventh or eighth, you can't pass on Barkley and expect him to come back to you
right
in the second round. So if you decide that you sort of really need to make a stance, I'm either in or I'm out on Saquon Barkley this year, if you're drafting in that range. Now, if you're in the 10, 11, 12 range, you can potentially, you know, go with, you know, if Kelce falls, if Diggs falls, if Devontae Adams is there, Tyreek Hill, whatever wide receiver you like, you can then grab him and maybe hope that Barkley flips, or you go Barkley and then grab the wide receiver.
It really comes down to, all those running backs that we just talked about, the receivers that will be there in the middle of the second round are not the same. The running backs aren't the same level of talent. Like, you can go Barkley, Ridley, Barkley, AJ Brown, Barkley, maybe Hopkins, Diggs falls in some cases there. And that to me is better than going Adams and Joe Mixon. Like, I like that start much better.
I agreed completely. Overnight, we got news that Sony Michel is traded to the Los Angeles Rams. Of course, this is the type of thing where it's probably a bigger trade in name than it actually is in importance of what the Rams will do. But Sony Michel is a former first rounder. He's looked slim. The Patriots clearly, we talked about this yesterday. In fact, the last 2 days, clearly showcasing him for a trade because they're feeding him receptions. This guy doesn't catch balls out of the backfield. Darrell Henderson's hurt. Cam Akers is out for the year. The Rams fancied themselves a Super Bowl team after the trade for future Hall of Famer Matthew Stafford. And as a result, they needed to get a running back because they just don't have much depth there. What does this do to your – because Akers had been a first-round pick at probably worst. I mean, maybe he was falling the second round, but more than likely –
top 15 overall pick, yep.
Yeah. And when he went down for the year – Henderson's value obviously shot way up. He became a second or maybe third, fourth, fifth round pick in that running back dead zone or whatever they call it. And now with Henderson hurt and Sony Michel in the fold, I think a lot of people are asking questions like, so how are you planning for these Rams running backs? Because it feels to me like it'll probably be a committee, but maybe you have a different opinion.
No, I think it will be a committee. You know, I don't think that, you know, I think if I understand the compensation correctly, it could be as much as a fourth round pick that the Patriots get in return. I might be wrong on that, but I thought that's what I saw from The Athletic. In any event, you know, the Rams, like you said, they consider themselves a Super Bowl favorite. What's a draft pick? You know, here, take them all.
We don't want to draft. I mean, Lord, like it's like Les Snead doesn't want to do any work.
Take the weekend off. I mean,
yeah, he's like Pete Briscoe. He's trying to push. He doesn't want to work for the next 5 years. He's trying to just get retirement and call the
doctor. Schedules medical procedures at the busiest time of season. I think the thing with both of these guys, first off, it's a complicated playbook that he's going to have to come in and learn, you know, 2 weeks before the season starts. So at what point will he be the potential lead back if he does get that opportunity? I still like Henderson better, but I was taking Henderson in the fourth round. He was one of my breakout candidates. That obviously is not the case anymore. But, you know, you had the thumb injury, like you said. You had the fact that probably Xavier Jones and Jake Funk weren't exactly doing, you know, world-breaking things to, you know, make it, you know, comfortable for Les Snead and Sean McVay that they have their backfield settled. But like you said, Michel is a former first round pick. He's looked great. I think he is he's a 1A to Henderson, but I still would take Henderson where I was drafting him in the fourth round. Now he's probably around sixth pick, and Michel, who was getting undrafted. We did a IDP draft yesterday, which is 27 rounds when you factor in the defensive players. I took Damien Harris, who was a big winner here. I took Damien Harris, and then I was like, do I want to take, because we have so many bench spots, do I want to take both Patriots running backs just with the thought of who's going to be the number two guy, and then I'll cut the other one? So I took Stevenson, so that worked out well. But I took Samaje Perine instead of Sony Michel, so Michel's still available. Now, obviously, he'll be one of the top free agents. But in any event, I think Michel is somebody you can use as a potential flex, and we'll see what, you know, how quickly he picks things up and can be on the field and a significant contributor. And then Damien Harris, and for me at least, Ramondre Stevenson is now the backup there behind, you know, James White in a separate role. So in ranking all of these guys right now, Harris is first, Henderson second, Michel is third, and then Stevenson fourth.
Yeah, I think I'll be in on Henderson now that he – because you're going to get a discount now that, yep, that Michelle's in the fold. People are going to push him down. He's banged up. I think there's a good chance, especially, again, in best ball, I think you can grab some of them. And then maybe like a running back three is where you want Henderson to be, or running back maybe a bad running back two with
right. If you go zero RB, you know, and he's your second, you know, running back, maybe your first, you know, if you throw in, you know, a bench receiver before you go running back. So he's perfect in that range. And I think Sony Michel is too. You know, I think both these guys, they're not going to be drafted so far apart in non PPR. In PPR, you just got to be concerned about Michelle's history as a pass catcher. So we'll see if in fact he does, you know, take on a little different role.
All right. So Travis Etienne out for the year, James Robinson, in theory, the feature back for Urban Meyer in this offense. How high are you pushing James Robinson in redraft leagues? Are you interested in the Jaguars? I mean, nobody's actually interested in the Jaguars, but how interested in the Jaguars are you from a fantasy perspective? And how concerning is Urban Meyer's preseason been for you?
So I don't often, you know, toot our own horn for FFT and the things that we do, but thanks to Pete, and this is totally his ties to Jacksonville.
Oh, this happened to me last year too. People were like, "You made me money on James Robinson last year."
Because of his intel with that team and knowing the team the way he did, for us as a fantasy site, and obviously, you know, for what you just said, making people money, we were the first on James Robinson. I feel pretty confident saying that. And so yeah. He was awesome, and you can't, you know, deny what he meant to fantasy managers. He was the number 7 running back in PPR, nearly averaged 18 PPR points per game. I don't think he's going to be that good again because he was a solo act to the degree that we love in today's NFL. You just don't see it anymore. He was averaging over 20 touches per game. But Urban Meyer is going to run out the corpse of Carlos Hyde and, you know, continue to use him and probably use him too much. And it's fine. You know, you don't want to see James Rodgers. Look, he broke down at the end of last season. So, you know, that I'm sure will help him. But I don't think people should overvalue Robinson just yet. And look, the Jaguars look terrible in the preseason. You know, 3/5 of their offensive line was missing in the game against the Saints. Trevor Lawrence is still learning his way through this. They got to get rid of this Gardner Minshew thing. But Robinson, I think, is somewhere in the 3-4 turn range, you know, so late 30s, early 40s. I'd prefer him in round 4 in the draft that I referenced from last night. He went 44th overall. You know, to me, that's fine. I wouldn't really put a priority on Carlos Hyde at all. I think this helps Laviska Shenault, you know, just based on what his role could be in the passing game. Maybe helps Marvin Jones and eventually DJ Chark as well. But Robinson is clearly a big winner. And, you know, I was struggling, honestly, with Robinson and Henderson, you know, just based on two guys getting an opportunity to be featured options. It's easy now clearly to take Robinson first.
I'm smiling because like you and I are currently getting text from Pete Prisco, which look exactly the way that you think that they would. the Cowboys featured on Hard Knocks, I guess yesterday or 2 days ago.
How cool was that drone shot?
Excuse me. Yes, it was awesome. And it's actually the highlight of Hard Knocks because it's been kind of boring.
Yeah. I mean, the Dak stuff, has been cool, you know, just to see what the first episode, you know, when he's trying to bang his ankle back into place, that was just, he's an animal.
Yeah. Yeah. And to see all that he went through, like off the field and to keep battling and he got paid. And
right. But I'm with you. The drone shot was definitely the highlight so far.
Yeah. That and the mojo moments, like anytime you get an Austin Powers reference from Mike McCarthy in 2021, as he's talking to 20-year-olds. I mean, that's
you ever notice how much. I know you pay attention to this. Mike McCarthy does like he talks like this. Like everything is always like his hands are in the air.
Now listen, guys, we're gonna do. Yeah, that's a good. That's a good question for you. All right, so with the Dak thing has me more worried than I think the general public. It feels like everybody's like, oh, Dak will be fine. Shoulder fatigue is a concern, man. Like that is not something that you just casually rehab. I mean, if you're a starting pitcher. Before the MLB season kicks off and you have shoulder fatigue, I'm not drafting you because at some point they're going to limit your innings. They're going to minimize the amount of throws that they're going to let you make. And if you're a starting quarterback and you have shoulder fatigue going into the season and three of your receivers are being drafted in the top, 25 or 30 or 40 or whatever. I don't know what Michael Gallup's ADP is.
Gallup's really a late round pick, but yeah, the top.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean like CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper are features of fantasy teams. Zeke Elliott is a feature of fantasy teams. Dak is a feature of fantasy teams. Should we be more concerned about the Cowboys than we are right now?
It's a fair point. And again, we don't know the extent of what the level of fatigue will be, is dialing him back and, you know, starting to build him back up. Part of the rebuilding process and, you know, how much was he actually throwing when he was sitting in crutches or, you know, with his leg laid up and, you know, straining his arm by not standing and stepping into throws. I have a hard time thinking that he's going to be a disaster if he's healthy. So, you know, if he's out there, you know, will he be a 45 plus pass attempt guy? I would imagine Mike McCarthy would like to limit that. Dak even said he doesn't want to throw for 6,000 yards. He'd rather have Zeke have a monster season. It does make me like Ezekiel Elliott even more because if he's not going to try and, you know, heave the ball 40 yards down the field or more, there's going to be a lot of, you know, probably designed dump off passes. And I'm sure the coaches will be aware of that, you know, until he's, you know, ramped up and fully ready to go. But as long as they're saying he's healthy and everything's seemingly trending in the right direction, I'm still going to be a buyer on the top three guys. You know, Gallup is a great late round pick and you definitely want to target him. But obviously CeeDee Lamb is got superstar potential. Amari Cooper has been a star and Zeke is a top five pick. So I'm not going to necessarily run away from the Cowboys.
Okay. I like that point on Zeke and he looks like he's in good shape. He's in way better shape than he was last year. He looks fit. He looks like he needs to prove something. And if Dak plays 16 games, I feel like Zeke can deliver an easy RB1 season and justify a top five pick.
I struggle with how high to put him, right? And he's fourth for me in both formats. I like him better than Kamara in non-PPR, better than Henry in PPR. Yes. But I had him at one point third. You know, he's not going to crack the top two because McCaffrey and Cook are just so sure, coming off fantastic seasons respectively. And I think they're a little bit better standing. But, you know, I have a draft coming up where I'm picking fourth, and I'm going to guess Henry or Kamara go three. And it's a team I share with my brother-in-law. I'm sure we're going to fight over it, but he's an Ohio State guy, so he'll probably, you know, give in when I say let's take Zeke at four. I just think, you know, he's a former two-time rushing champion. The offensive line is back. Tyron Smith looks in fantastic shape too.
Yep.
You know, Zeke has, like you said, he could lead the league in rushing. He can, you know, be a 20 touchdown guy. You know, he's got that type of upside.
Sounds like you're going to take Zeke over Henry at four. And then on the rollback, you're going to take Terry McLaurin over CeeDee Lamb. Just to appease your Ohio, your Buckeye brother-in-law.
Yes. We actually had McLaurin last year too. So that actually might happen.
That actually worked out pretty well for you. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, how is Jamie handling the tight end position this year?
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So Travis Kelce, a clear-cut number one tight end. His average ADP. His ADP is 9.99 nine times. George Kittle, the next up at 23, and then Darren Waller at 29. Waller's actually surprisingly low. Yeah. When you think about what he can do, what's your approach to tight end? Because for me, my opinion is that after the Noah Fant, Higbee, Logan Thomas tier, you're a dead man walking if you wait and get somebody after that. And you're just praying that like Mike Gesicki breaks out or you know, Rob Gronkowski has somehow a magical bounce, like a magical breakout year, second breakout year, or whatever you would call it. Where are you drafting tight ends? And is there somebody that I'm missing outside of that range that I mentioned?
So you're actually more optimistic than I think most people are. If you're comfortable with that Fant Thomas group.
I'm not comfortable, but I can live.
But I know what you're saying. It's so the way that we've been saying it, which is, it's kind of cool that some other fantasy sites have adopted it on the shows that we've done as guest spots. We say great or late at tight end. So if you don't get one of the top three greats, the three that you mentioned, and I would take Waller over Kittle personally. You kind of just wait it out. That middle tier, middle group of guys, which there's three of them, could be fantastic. I almost dropped the F word. That's how good they could be. Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, and obviously Kyle Pitts. Those three have the chance to be amazing. But we went through this a couple years ago where, oh my God, OJ Howard, Evan Ingram, and I forget, Hunter Henry. OJ Howard, Evan Ingram.
So deep. You just wait on tight end. It's so deep. And it's not deep.
Well, it's not that it's deep, but it's like, why reach? And so that's the problem. It's so like
a couple of years ago, we were like, acting like it was very deep and it just wasn't.
Yes. We're hoping for, you know, other guys to get into the mix. And those three guys, you know, Andrews has done it before. So you can, you know, sort of look at it. And with all the injuries that the Ravens receivers are dealing with, it makes you more comfortable about Andrews. And the touchdown potential is clearly obvious. Hockenson is the one that a lot of people are concerned about because he hasn't done it before. Even though it was a top five tight end last year, it was kind of like by default because everybody got hurt. But who else is Jared Goff going to throw to at this point? You know, I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. Tyrell Williams, he's okay. But that's really it. You know, Swift is banged up right now. So he could lead all tight ends and targets. It wouldn't be that shocking with Hockenson. And then Pitts is the darling because of, you know, what he did at college and no Julio Jones. And so he has, you know, a ton of potential as well. But if you miss on those guys, I wouldn't take a tight end until round 10 or later. So Fant is perfect. Logan Thomas is my next guy up in PPR. The guy that you didn't mention who I like, 8th in PPR, 7th in non-PPR, is Irv Smith. I think he's going to have a big season. And one of my bold predictions is there's going to be 4 tight ends who have double digits in touchdowns. Kelsey, Waller, Andrews, and Smith. I think Smith is going to eat away into the Adam Thielen touchdown potential that, or touchdown, you know, numbers that we've seen.
Kyle Rudolph TD numbers too, because Rudolph, I mean, not like Rudolph is good, but, you know, Kirk Cousins just looked his way in the red zone a lot.
He's a red zone threat. And so Irv Smith is tough to trust in PPR because I don't think he's going to be, you know, a 70 catch guy even. You know, he's probably a 50 or 60 catch guy. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's 50, 6, 700 and 10 touchdowns. You know, he has that type of – he has the ability to be that type of player. So he's a top 10 guy for me. Like you said, Logan Thomas, I think it's been nice to see Ryan Fitzpatrick lean on him a little bit in the preseason action. Those guys have been out there. And then it's just a total gamble, you know. So – the Dolphins injuries have put Mike Gesicki back in play because Will Fuller, as we know, has a hard time staying healthy. Devontae Parker as well. Higbee will benefit without Gerald Everett there and the greatest quarterback of all time, Matthew Stafford, throwing the ball. And then the wild card right now is Dallas Goedert. You know, the two things I was kind of waiting to see happen, one was would the Patriots cut or trade Sony Michel? That's happened. The other is, are the Eagles still going to move on from Zach Ertz? I think that there's a chance they might if they get an offer, but it hasn't materialized yet. So Dallas Goedert is still a wild card. He's still being drafted as a top 10 tight end. You can't draft him in that range if Ertz is on the roster. But if Ertz leaves, then Goddard could be a potential top 5 guy.
Yeah, I mean, if Goddard's a guy that I think is worth investing in now, like over the next week or so, because if Ertz does gets traded, he skyrockets.
Yep.
Excuse me, I have no Topo Chico up here to deal with my lingering cough. At wide receiver, actually, no, before wide receiver, the Saints. Are you operating under the assumption that Jameis Winston is going to be the starter? And how are you handling non-Alvin Kamara Saints players? Adam Troutman's hurt. Michael Thomas is this very bizarre injury that's going to keep him out, you know, for who knows how long. Right. And Latavius Murray not getting run in the preseason. Tre'Quan Smith isn't playing. Marcus Callaway is now being drafted like 1/10 overall, which is insane. What's your general outlook on an offense that's been so fantasy-friendly for so many years?
Yeah, I think after the game against the Jaguars, you have to go with the assumption it's going to be Jameis. It's if you were to tell me Taysom Hill and Pete Prisco, the biggest Taysom Hill fan of all time, if you were to tell me Taysom Hill is the starter, I would like that better because of you know he's going to play every snap.
By the way, for trolling Pete purposes, would you rather have Taysom Hill start or Gardner Minshew start?
fantasy wise, I'd rather have Taysom Hill. NFL wise, it's probably toss up. Taysom is not coming off the field. You know, Jameis is going to come off the field for Taysom. If they're taking a Hall of Famer off the field for Taysom Hill, they're going to take Jameis Winston off the field
right, for
Taysom Hill with what happened with Drew Brees. So it's hard to trust Jameis as a starter, but I think he's one of those high end backups because if he does perform to what he was with Tampa, I mean, he's a 5,000 yard quarterback, you know, and I still think there's good enough weapons when everybody's healthy. You mentioned the injury concerns. Like I said, Kamara's a top 5 pick, so that doesn't really have to change. Thomas to me is one of the best players you should be targeting because you're getting him at, I've seen him, it actually happened twice, so I'll just use the number, 75th overall. So you know, you're talking anywhere between round 6 and round 8 is where I've seen him go. So if you go receiver heavy and then you still get, you know, whether you go quarterback, tight end or 2 running backs that you like, this guy, in the way I'm operating is their bye is week 6. I'm hoping by week 7, he's back. So, okay. You're talking, 9+ games.
You have to have an IR slot to do it, right?
It's better, but you don't, depending on how deep your bench goes, but it certainly helps. And in some leagues, he has to be placed on IR. They just may keep him inactive for 6 weeks. So that's going to change things if he's not on the PUP list. So, but if he comes back and he's anything close to what he was in 2019, you have a top 10 tight end. If he's anything like he was last year, even with Taysom Hill, he's still a top 20 caliber wide receiver.
Wide receiver, yeah.
So you're not finding that off the waiver wire. You're not finding that, later in your drafts. He has league winning upside. And so I will take my chances with that all day, and in some cases, the way I've been approaching it, it's almost like you can handcuff the two, because Marcus Callaway could be a zero wide receiver option for you because he's going to have 6 weeks of maybe great production. And then when Thomas comes back, you just make the switch in your lineup. So it's like almost like a handcuff running back. But Callaway, I think is a good, he's creeping into the middle rounds. I don't think he should go before round 8, but anything 8 to 10 right now is fine. And then Troutman was somebody I was really excited about. I thought he was going to be, the next starting caliber tight end for the Saints from a fantasy perspective. But, the injury on top of the usage so far, he went from somebody that was inside my top 12 to, right outside the top 24.
He feels like a, if you're dealing in that, like Irv Smith range, grab Troutman on the back end too as sort of a secondary tight end option.
I think there are better options available still, but I was very hopeful for Troutman. This just tells you when you do these drafts early, best ball for sure. But I did an analyst draft with 11 amazing people in the industry. I took Adam Troutman. This was 3 weeks ago. I took Adam Troutman first with a round 12 pick.
Oh boy.
And then I got Logan Thomas with one of my last picks.
Really?
And now Thomas, after two preseason games, has looked much better. The reports have been fantastic. Curtis Samuel's injury has certainly helped. And so now I have my tight end, but this just tells you that everybody passed on Thomas multiple times, and myself included. This is how stupid we are sometimes when we analyze these things.
No, the analyst group think is fascinating because you can get value on guys if you're just willing to buy in on people that the industry as a whole are out on. Speaking of value on guys, who are some of your value guys later, not later in drafts, but I'm basically asking you for sleepers, but no, you can't say sleepers now. You can't say break. Who's a breakout versus who's a sleeper. Who are some of your guys that you're throwing your flag down on that you want to make sure you come out of in drafts and that I can poach from you before you get them in our upcoming drafts?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to sound a little obvious, but I was taking Damien Harris everywhere, just based on what I saw the first two preseason games. But now it's a little clearer to take him, so I'll say him. But say
that's a perfect. I still think that the average fan is probably not in on Damien Harris. I mean, there's always the percolating notion that you can't draft Patriots running backs,
right?
And that's even with Sony Michel being traded, I think that still lingers a little bit.
Well, it's drafting him in context. Like, he's better in non and half PPR than he is in full PPR because of James White. But he especially if they make a quarterback switch at some point and Cam's not, vulturing all those touchdowns, Harris will have those goal line opportunities. But Harris is somebody that I was taking, as anywhere from round 6 to round 8, depending on how it fell, as a third running back, and I had him ranked as a starter prior to this move. The guys that I take later are typically the lottery ticket type running backs. I'm an AJ Dillon guy. He's not so late. Yeah. Gus Edwards, those type of guys, because if there's an injury, they'll be great, but you're going to get to play them as potential flex plays. Jamal Williams also. I draft Darrell Williams everywhere because this was, and then again, this was before Clyde Edwards-Helaire busted up his ankle. To what extent we don't know, but got hurt in the second preseason game against the Cardinals. Williams is one injury away from being a starting running back for the Chiefs. And I know that last year was frustrating because of Edwards-Helaire's struggles and Le'Veon Bell's being a disaster. But Williams was a guy that used in the playoffs when CEH was hurt. And by all accounts, he's been the second guy, even with Jerick McKinnon. The receivers that I look for, and this is coming off the second preseason game, so they've become very popular. But Jacoby Myers was always a guy that I liked.
Jacoby Myers fan podcast here, obviously.
Yeah, no, I know you certainly from NC State, clearly, but it's hard not to get, it was hard not to get excited about what he showed you last year. And everybody got I think a little down on him because they bring in the two tight ends, they bring in Nelson Aguilar, he's never scored a touchdown, all those things. And then you realize, well, he was awesome as the Julian Edelman replacement, again in context, not necessarily a world beater, but a third receiver for sure. And now he has a chance to, you know, build off that and hopefully continue to progress and finally find the end zone. I was taking the healthiest Jets wide receiver. So it was Elijah Moore. Now it's Corey Davis. Now it could be both. You know, I'll target either one, but I have a lot of Elijah Moore shares. I love when guys, you know, do the old Rocky thing of putting the name or a picture on a mirror. I don't know if you remember Apollo had Rocky picture on the mirror, and then Rocky did it with Drago. So there's a story in The Athletic of Elijah Moore wrote in pen the five receivers who were drafted over him in the NFL draft. And it was a cool story that he reads it every day when he wakes up and he looks at it every night, you know. So I like those stupid things. He was awesome in the start of training camp. And Zach Wilson's got to find somebody to lean on. And both those guys, I think, do a lot of nice things. Darnell Mooney's another guy I take a lot of. His role with the Bears should be good. And hopefully Justin Fields leans on him. Irv Smith is my number one tight end target. If I don't go great, you know, that's the late guy that I look for. Logan Thomas is now there as well. So those are the guys that I tend to gravitate toward.
I like the idea of Elijah Moore getting up every day and be like, Jamar Chase.
with what these rookie receivers are looking like, you know, Waddle got banged up in the last game. I love him too. He's another, you know, target of mine. Devontae Smith with the injury. Jamar Chase, you know, maybe getting benched for Auden Tate, which would be the stupidest thing in Bengals.
That would be worse than Trevor Lawrence getting benched for Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, potentially, especially passing on Penei Sewell to help that offensive line and help your, you know, franchise quarterback. So those guys are you know, struggling right now. Rashad Bateman's hurt, you know, so wouldn't be surprising if Elijah Moore is I saw one of the Jets beat writers say, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek that he's this year's Justin Jefferson. But it kind of falls in line with, you know, fifth, sixth wide receiver. You know, Jefferson was a first-round pick, but Elijah Moore has that type of upside, you know, if Zach Wilson can get him the ball to that extent.
All right, we got to ask you, if you're going to ask you about guys you're high on, we got to ask you about guys you're low on. Who are you fading in fantasy, you know, early mid rounds? Just guys that you look at and you're no thanks, like I'm staying away.
Yeah, I tend to pass on Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders. You know, their situations, you know, got a little frustrating this offseason. Jacobs getting Kenyon Drake and, you know, the offensive line shuffle. Miles Sanders, it seems like it's going to be a committee there with everybody involved. So, you know, Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, those guys. So I tend to shy away from those players. I'm nervous about Mike Evans. You know, his ADP on our site, which, you know, I don't know if people are listening to us or just, you know, what the projections are, but there's so many mouths to feed there. And you know, he's
never had back-to-back 7 2-yard touchdowns last year.
He's never had back-to-back double digits touchdowns. Obviously he's never played two consecutive seasons with Tom Brady. So you got to, you know, factor that in as well, sure. But he'll get his 1,000 yards if he's healthy, but Antonio Brown was dominating targets when he was there. Chris Godwin's going to get his. They now have O.J. Howard and Giovanni Bernard to throw back in the mix with Gronk as well. So, you know, I find myself staying away from Mike Evans. Aaron Rodgers is another guy, you know, his ADP on our site, because our site is a compilation of all of our drafts, so 2QB drafts, Superflex drafts. So the ADP for
right. That makes sense.
Kind of gets thrown up a little bit where he's a third-round pick, but I usually look in context of where the quarterbacks are being drafted, and he's still being drafted, I think, sixth overall at the position. I like actually Jalen Hurts better than Aaron Rodgers, and that's a shocking thing to say and to even, you know, listen to. But I think, you know, Rodgers was basically 23 points per game on average the 3 years prior to last year. And so the Jordan Love motivation, things falling his way last year, he was amazing. And I just don't think he's worth drafting high. Same thing with Justin Herbert. He's another guy going too high, in my opinion. I still like both those guys as top 10 quarterbacks, but Herbert to me is being drafted a little bit, you know, too soon. So those are some guys.
Rodgers had a 9.1 touchdown percentage. Like 9.1% of his throws were touchdowns last year. The last two times we've seen guys have 9% or higher touchdown throws were Patrick Mahomes in 2018 and Lamar Jackson in 2019, which should tell you that it's probably unsustainable that he could do that next year.
And both those guys busted the following year. It's rare. I think Drew Brees, maybe it was 2011, 2012, last quarterback to repeat as the number one quarterback in fantasy. And that sometimes depends on what site you look at, because some people, you know, have different point scoring. It's going to be hard for Rodgers to certainly repeat as the number one guy and even a top five guy. So he's somebody that I don't find myself drafting unless he falls.
All right. We'll get you out of here on this. Anything you want to say to Pete Prisco before we get done?
I love Pete Prisco. He's a great friend. He's one of the best NFL writers, analysts.
Actually, you know what? I haven't even told you about this, so I'll tell you all the. I've got a little. If Pete won't listen to this podcast, so it won't matter. But I've got a little a scheme I'm working on.
Oh,
try and we're gonna get Pete in the Hall of Fame, but we're gonna
I like it.
We're not gonna tell. I'm working some back channels to try and get a platform to really push Pete for the Hall of Fame. He is a Hall of Fame analyst, but
anyway. He's a Hall of Fame analyst. Do you think he remembers that he agreed that I can write the story for our site when he gets in the Hall of Fame?
No, of course not.
He
had for lunch yesterday. The only way he remembers it is it's a turkey sandwich. Like that's all he eats. That's the only way he remembers it.
Does your audience know how evil you are to him, by the way? He had a medical procedure where he was not allowed to eat. And Will is just texting him pictures of food all day long.
Like gifts of pizza, like rolling. Like rolling.
Yes. Pizza. I told him that I had a turkey sandwich with a side of turkey.
Diva's correct. I think the audience has a decent idea. But then, no, of course, when Pete comes on the actual podcast, I'm like, hey, Pete, what's going on, buddy?
Exactly. Yeah. I would never be mean to Pete publicly.
No.
For the most part. But privately, I will destroy that man.
All right, Jamie. Awesome stuff as always.
Yes, well.
And check out the Fantasy Football Today podcast and go bid on us, because I think my auction is still going. You can bid on a private Zoom call with Jamie, Keith, and Dave, maybe Chris Towers, the whole Fantasy Football Today team. It's on eBay, cbssports.com/eBay. Thanks for the time as always, buddy.
You're the best, bud.
Bye, man.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.